on me. Every time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing.
I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing.
If I could have anything, let it be. Every time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing.
I don't have that much to bring,
just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be it.
I need you now to this morning's been kind of a challenge for us to give God all that we are. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I sing those songs, I get convicted. So I'm like, oh, do I just want to move your heart, Lord? Is that all I want to do? So then I have to declare it, Lord, help me to align with that in my life, that I want to please you above anything else. And we want to be an offering to you, yielding and surrendering our lives, our ways, our plans, our desires into your hands. Lord, we do. We just surrender our lives into your hands. It's a good place for them to be, Lord, is in your hands. Just give you, Lord, every care in our life right now. Lord, we cast it on you by faith. Because, Lord, your word says you care for us, Lord, so we cast our cares on you. We yield and we surrender, Lord. All those things have been weighing us down. All those things have been distracting us. Everything that keeps us, Lord, from being able to run after you hard. We just lay them down right now. We lay them at your feet. Whatever they may be, Lord. Whatever's going on, Lord, in our life, Lord, we lay them down at your feet. We choose to do that today. Thank you, Lord. Give back to us, Lord, peace that passes all understanding. Lord, you remove, Lord, those cares from us. We are able to rejoice, Lord. Have joy in you, Lord. We choose to do that today. Up his back, so Zeke came in and ran sound. Thank you, Zeke. But Lord, right now we just lift up Jesse before your throne of grace. Lord, we just ask that you would touch his back. You know what's going on with his back. You created him, Lord. You know everything about him, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you would just bring a healing to it right now in Jesus' name. Whatever has been tweaked, whatever has been injured, we just ask right now that you would just bring your healing hand to him. Your healing hand in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Patrick, you okay to come up and I pray for you? Patrick is suffering from a little bit of Bell's palsy. But you know what? The Lord is above every other name. Palsy is below him right now and below his feet. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the healing power that's moving through Patrick, Lord, by your glory. Lord, you love Patrick with everlasting love. You love him, Lord, beyond any of our understanding, Lord. And, Father, we just ask that you would release, Lord, your grace to your son right now with healing. Grace of healing right now in Jesus' name. Just release it over our brother right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for touching him. The top of his head, the bottom of his feet, whatever's going on in his body, let it align with who you have created him to be in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, bro. Praise the Lord. Thank you, team. Great worship. Praise the Lord. Well, take a few minutes and greet each other. Grab some coffee. And we'll be back in just a few.
Check, check, check. All right, let's find our seats. We're going to do our declaration for the city because God loves our city. Amen. Why don't you guys stand with me? We're going to do this together. We're going to do this in unison. We're going to declare things over our city before we see them happen, before we even believe them. We're going to make a mighty declaration. Amen. Amen. All right. So on the count of three, we're going to say this together. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that my families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we just thank you so much for the Yakima Valley. We thank you, God, for what you're doing, God, even before you've done it, God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for every person that calls this place home geographically, Lord, that you've put us here for a specific time such as now. And God, I just pray blessings upon blessings, Lord, over our whole city, God, over our whole valley, God, that this would be a valley that knows God. This would be a valley that is known by God, that has the reputation of being known by God. Yes. And we just thank you so much, God, for how you're moving and what you're doing. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. I have a couple announcements. Pre-service prayer, as you guys have heard us say many a times, downstairs, 9:45. Everybody is welcome. Please, you know, make time to do this. This is a great time just to come and get our hearts unified together. Yeah, we can move on to the next one, Pastor. So this is a youth worship night that's happening September 9th. So No, that's next Saturday. Wow, next Saturday. It's coming up next Saturday. Skylie Rain is on the worship team with a couple of other youth represented from around our city. So really excited about that. But this is, it's a youth-focused worship night. But again, like I've been saying the last few weeks, this is for all ages. This is going to be a citywide event. And this is the Yakima Convention Center at 6:30. So I'm going to ask that you guys make this a priority. If you have nothing going on, come and worship Jesus and watch a generation lay down their life. Amen. The only way to look at a generation with new eyes is to actually see it happen. And this is why we continue to be so passionate about this young generation, is because we're watching it happen. We watch it happen every Sunday night. We watch it happen at youth camp. We watch it happen at these youth things where we see a generation that is excited about Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, and then this, do you want to come talk about this, my love? Come talk about it. I always feel awkward announcing these women-only events.
Okay. Why? You shouldn't. You're married to one. All right. So, October 6th and 7th, ladies, it is a women's conference. I've told you we will try to do a convoy together. I meant to bring the sign-up sheet this week. I failed. Please forgive me. It will be here next Sunday, so that way I can know how many people are interested and registered. Please get registered before the 10th. Otherwise, the price will jump from $35 to $45. If you could do it, that's awesome. But, yes. So, it's right up there. It's the Father's House. INT.org, and I can text that to you so that you can have that, okay? And it'll send you right to the link. I don't like how loud this is. Hi.
think you need to bring it closer.
I got to bring it closer? Oh, there it is. There it is. It's me. It's me. Not you. It's me. I'm sorry. Okay. So, yes, it's going to be fun. They're going to have dinner ready for us by the time we get there. Once I know how many people are there, there's potential for housing. I just got to know how many people are actually interested so I can, and you know, figure that out and see if they do have enough houses for us women or rooms. So, once I get the sign-up sheet, I'll have more information for you. But please, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to find me, contact me. If you need my number, I'll give it to you.
There it is. Amen. Good job. All right. And then this, we're going to have a little bit of an instruction with this one. But this is our Bible reading plan we're going to be doing as a church. So we're going to be going through the book of John. And we're going to be utilizing the Bible app. So if you have not gotten on the Bible app, this is a great time for you to start. Because the Bible app is a great, just, they've made it so easy for everybody to have access to the Bible. And just to read the Bible. And so starting tomorrow, we are starting day one of reading the book of John as the church. And what's cool about this is that since if you are using the Bible app, at the very end of each day, there will be a time, a space where we can comment on it and we could say, hey, this is what I got from it. This is what I liked about it. This is what I didn't like about it and so forth. And it's just a really cool way to do it together. And so you can go to the first slide, Pastor. And so if you don't have, oh, that's really small, but essentially this is the interface of the Bible app. So you download the Bible app. It says you... version, is that, yeah, and you create a profile, a laser pointer, how, oh, boom, awesome, and so up here on this side, you can create an account, you just use an email, and nobody's going to steal your information, you're going to be fine, and then you'll have an account, and then, well, you want to put your first and last name in there, that way Pastor Mike can find you. Oh yeah, so you could use your Facebook and all that stuff as well. And what I'm going to ask actually is that once you do this, you go find Pastor Mike. It says Mike Lindell in his beautiful face. Both of your faces, right, are on there. It's a picture of Mike and Gayleen, and you friend him. And why that's important is because when Pastor Mike creates this plan, you'll need to be his friend in order to be a part of it. So once you create that, is there another one? This is the plan that we're starting. And so what will happen is Pastor Mike will have it scheduled to start tomorrow. You'll click start plan. And what, like I said, what's really great about this is that it keeps track for you. So you can see day one, September 4th, and it tells you what you're going to read. And then it actually tells you for the next 21 days what it's going to look like. And if you miss a day, that's okay. You can either choose to read the day you miss, or you could just jump on the day that we are. And it's really cool. Yes, Miss Lopez. Will it read it to you? Yes. Good question. So it'll read it to you. Depending on the translation you choose, it will read it to you. I know for sure it's the NIV, I know for sure the ESV, probably the New King James, but there's a few like the Passion, it doesn't read it to you. But nonetheless, and you could pick the speed. So if you, like, sometimes when I read it, I want it to go a little bit faster because I'm like, all right, let's go. Say it faster. So this is really exciting. Is there any questions, any comments, any concerns? Okay, so later today, Pastor Mike will send out a mass text to the whole church. And again, you don't need the Bible app to do this. We're just using it as a facilitator. So just so you're aware, hold your questions to the end. Just so you're aware, tomorrow you can open up your physical Bible to John 1, and then the second day John 2, and so forth. And you just keep going, and you'll be right along with us. And there's 21 chapters. Okay. Yes, Mrs. Lopez. Okay. All right. So if you want to use the Bible app, that would be great. I'm going to highly recommend you guys do if you have the ability to do that, just because, again, it kind of keeps us all in sync with one another. And I think that's it, right? Okay. And then, giving. We appreciate everybody who gives to this house. Thank you for being a cheerful giver, a generous giver. Thank you for sowing into what God's doing here at One Life Family Worship. And again, you can give online on the website there, or you can give in the box here, the box in the back. And we just appreciate anybody who gives, whether it's you give, you know, a couple bucks or you give a certain percentage of your income. I know it doesn't go without thankfulness. And I know from someone who doesn't have a lot of money, it's not always easy to give that income. But I promise you, you are helping further the kingdom of God. Amen. So without further ado, Pastor Mike.
I encourage everyone. Whoa. A little hot. Here we go. I encourage everyone to join us reading through the book of John. One of the best gospels, I think. They're all good, but John just has a way of just communicating just the amazing love and deity of Christ. And so I encourage everyone to join us. It's just one single chapter a day. So on the 5th, you'll start with the chapter 2, and we'll see how it works in the Bible app. If this works, then maybe we'll be able to continue this process, because I love the idea of being able to communicate together what we're learning and what we're experiencing. So today's message, we're continuing on the idea of reigning in life. How many know that God does not intend for us to just get by as Christians? God's plan for us is not that we would just squeak into heaven, you know, someday. God's plan for us is that we would rule and reign in Christ. Not rule and reign in ourselves, but in Christ. That there's an authority that we have. And first of all, above and beyond anyone else, our authority is for our own mind, will, and emotions, our own body. That we're not to have necessarily just authority over everybody else, but it's if we're good and we're able to control our own body and our own household, then God will give us people that we can help lead and guide. But the point is that reigning means to be like a king. It means to be like someone that has a dominion, and we have dominion over our life, and God has given us this through the grace of the Holy Spirit. Let's go and look at our verse. It's Romans 5:17. And it says, if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one. And we learned about that last week, that Adam, he sinned. And because of that, all mankind was under a curse of sin. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Again, it's through him. It's by him. It's being in him. As we live as Christians, and as we submit ourselves to God, we have the, it says in the Bible, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil, and he has to flee. How many know that the devil seems to be the one that wants to trip up our lives so that we don't receive what God wants to have for us? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So let's go ahead and take a look at what we want to focus on today. Same verse. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace. So that's what we're going to focus on today. And if the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So we want to talk about receiving abundance of grace. And what does that mean? What does it mean to receive abundance of grace? It's one of the prerequisites for reigning in Christ. You know, one of the first prerequisites is to be a sinner. I think we all had that down, Pat, right? The second part is to receive this abundance of grace that he has. And we're going to kind of break that down. The third is to receive the gift of righteousness, which we'll talk about that later. And then finally, what does it mean to reign in life? But today we're going to talk about receiving abundance of grace. So if we look at the Williams translation, it expands a little bit on this idea of abundance and the idea of what it means to receive. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through that one, to a much greater degree, in other words, over and above that, will those who continue to receive. Notice that it's a process. I mean, when we receive salvation, we receive it. We've got it, right? But we have to continually remain in salvation. We have to continually remaining in the things that God gave us. We can't just take it for granted. I mean, if we take it for granted, what's going to end up happening is that we're going to shrink back, fall back. Backslide is another word. Everybody hates that word, backslide. But it basically means that you're falling back from what God has for you. You're falling back from his plan for your life. You have to continue to receive the overflow of his unmerited favor. So this idea of overflow, what does it mean? It means that God's pouring out on us something that we can't fully contain it. It's going to spill out. And if we're you know, obedient to Christ and we're walking in his ways, it spills out on others. This superabundance that he's giving us, it spills out on others. It touches other people's lives. Amen? Amen. Thank you for that enthusiastic amen. All right. We're going to look at what's called the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. This is basically much more those who receive abundance of grace. All those lines below there are the expansion of what that means. This is something you should probably look at. It's an amazing study tool, and it's free. It doesn't cost a thing. Romans 5:17 in the New King James says much more, again, above all. Aware over all of the previous thing about Adam's, you know, sins coming upon us, Christ is much more. Those who receive abundance of grace, it's saying in continuously receiving and seizing upon. So the idea is that it has to be a continuous process. How many have heard? I'm trying to think. It's like keep on keeping on. In other words, you just keep moving forward. You keep receiving. So if you're not receiving this abundance of grace, you're saying, look, you know, Pastor, you're talking about something that I really haven't experienced. Well, by faith, you receive it. Does everybody know what by faith means? It means you're believing in something that you don't see. You're believing in something that you haven't received yet. If you've already received it, guess what? I mean, if it's something that's already in your hand, then you're not needing your faith at that time. But we walk by faith and not by sight. So we have to say, Lord, I believe that your superabundance grace is working in my life. Whether I see it, whether I feel it, I'm going to believe it. Because it is. And, you know, we don't always get to see the results, but I believe there's many times that you go like, wow, that's amazing the way that that just worked out. I mean, I went here, went there, and then I came here, and it seemed like it all fell together. And some people say, well, what a coincidence. No, it's his superabundance grace working in your life. It's him making things work out when it seems like they weren't going to work out. How many have started their day and said, oh, how am I going to get all of this done? There's no way. Mothers especially, right? How am I going to get all of this done? And then at the end of the day, you go, how did I get it all done? How did it work out? Or how did that thing that I thought I had to do today move to tomorrow? I didn't have to do it after all. That's a superabundance grace working. And if you don't expect something, very rarely do you receive something. You know, the Bible has a radical statement. It says, we have not because we ask not. It's pretty clear. If we don't ask, if we don't believe, if we're not expecting, it's sometimes hard to receive. And even if we do receive, sometimes we don't give honor to the one that we got it from. We think, oh, well, that worked out well, and it just was a coincidence. No, it's God working. So this idea of in continuously receiving and seizing upon. This Greek word, I think it's lampano, it basically means like to take, to seize. But it's in this form, it's being used as receive. But it still means that you have to take. I showed this last time. If I'm giving Eric this pen, he has to take it. He has to possess it. That's the same thing with the superabundance grace. We have to continually receive it. And then it says it's the surrounding superabundance. I love this. In other words, it's always there. Who is the grace? It's Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. That's the grace. But it manifests in a superabundance of grace all around us, all the time, encircling extraordinary surplus and excess of the grace. I love that. All right. So I love examples of what Jesus walked in, because how many know what Jesus walked in? We also get to walk in, because he was the example for us. As he lived his life here on earth, he emptied himself as God, and he came in the form of man. Not a sinful man. He was holy, with righteous, never sinned, even though he was tempted in every way that you and I were. I mean, just think about that for a second. He was tempted in every single way that you and I are tempted. You mean he was tempted with pornography? Well, it may not have been exactly pornography, but the same thing, looking at women, he could have had those lustful thoughts that he engaged in, but he didn't. He was without sin. Why? So he could be the spotless lamb, the sacrifice for you and I, so that you and I could be free from sin. All right. So in John chapter 1, what do you know? Chapter 1. What a coincidence. No. Grace. I'll tell you, it's grace. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ was full of grace and truth. So I believe that we're full of grace and truth. We are full of it. Grace and truth. If someone says, you're full of it. Yes, I am. Grace and truth. I'm full of grace and truth. And it says here in verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. When I was teaching through the book of John, I came to this. Of his fullness we have all received. It was like a light bulb went off. It's like people who don't know God, they still have received his fullness. They maybe don't realize it. They haven't acknowledged him in their life, but his fullness is in them. The potential to be who God called them to be is there. We have all received. Keep in mind, John wasn't writing to the church when he wrote the gospel. He was writing to all mankind, trying to reach them. We've all received grace for grace, grace upon grace. So there's right there, it says that there's a super abounding grace that we've received. Isn't that good news? I think that's good news. Maybe it's not good news to everybody, but to me, I'm excited. It's good news because I have abundance of grace that I'm walking in. So what is grace? I like this one. God's riches at Christ's expense. So easy to remember. In other words, Christ had to give up something so that we could receive the riches of God. And it begins with, he basically became sin on the cross who knew no sin. Why? So that we could be righteous. So that we could be sinless in God's eyes. Did you guys hear that? We can be sinless in God's eyes because he became sin who knew no sin so that we could be righteous. And righteous means not having sin. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 8:9 is where this verse really is kind of expounded on. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Let me read that again because that's powerful. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, what does that mean? Well, he was in heaven. He had the place in heaven that he had as the Son of God. He was rich. He didn't need anything except us. He needed us. He needed us to be okay again. So because of his love for us and his need for us to be okay again, acceptable once again to the Father, for our sakes, he became poor. So it's almost like he had all this glory, all this majesty, all this power, and he literally emptied himself of it. And then he came in the form of man. He came in the form of man so that he could be our sacrifice. And then it says that you, through his poverty, might become rich. So because he became poor, we become rich. Man, that's grace. That is grace. There's some mercy thrown in there as well, but it's grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's an acronym that we're doing there, by the way. God's riches at Christ. You got it, Eric. Okay. I just thought I'd reemphasize it because that didn't really show it like going straight down. But you know this grace. We do know it. Some people say, well, Pastor, I didn't know it until you started preaching about it. No, you did. Because this grace is the gift of God. This grace is God's impartation to us. It's like when last week when we were when one of the scriptures it said that he has been preaching to you, Jesus himself. Well, I've never heard Jesus preach to me. Oh, yes, you have. As you've heard through the word when you read it, he's preaching to you. As you've heard someone on a Sunday share a message and it hits your heart, he's preaching to you. He's using vessels. He's using, you know, tools. But it's him. He's preaching to us. So in the same way, his grace is him. I think it's hard to distinguish sometimes between God's giftings and who he is, because it's part of what makes him up. And his grace is part of him. All right, let's look at a verse. Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So none of us can say that we haven't received grace. Some of us receive it a little differently. I mean, not all of you have the grace to stand up here and share on Sunday morning. Now, I thought I didn't. I was really avoiding it for a long time, but God inspired me to step out. But there's a grace for me to walk in for that. There's probably a grace for some of you to share publicly and you just say, oh, there's no way. But once you do it, you'll realize, oh, it wasn't me standing up there. It was God's power in me that enabled me to stand up there. Amen? But it could be something as simple as going across the street to your neighbor. You're saying, oh, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. That's true. You don't. But God in you, the grace in you could empower you to go over there and reach your neighbor. What, you mean like preach to him? No, take a pie over. Or a cake. A what? Starbucks coffee card. I was just thinking about you and I saw this card and I just wanted to let you know that I'm glad I'm your neighbor. Something simple. But that's grace working in you to do that. But the thing is that it may not be that. It may be you loving on somebody at work that you don't like. And the way that you love on them is you don't respond to them in anger. You don't respond to them in discontentment. You respond to them in love and in truth. I may be messing with people's business right now, but you know, that's practical grace at work where you can't do something yourself. You enable God's power to fill you to fulfill it. All right. This is another one. In him, we have redemption through his blood. Amen. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So see here again. Our forgiveness of sin is part of the richness of his grace, which he made to abound towards us. There's that impartation again of something that we can't contain. It's abounding towards us. And it's in all wisdom and prudence. Some say, what is prudence? It's like wisdom. We'll just leave it at that. Because it's a word that's kind of hard to explain. It's like the qualities of wisdom is prudence. So this is what I really wanted to get to. Because this is kind of where we can end up being in our walk. This can be like when you hear all these messages, because I know you haven't heard, you know, this message for the first time about God's grace, God's love, God's supernatural empowerment. probably, maybe unless you're just brand new to the faith, maybe it's the first time. But I know a lot of you have heard about this. A lot of I've heard it. And sometimes we have the what do I want to say? The failure of not following through with what we've received. The failure of not using what we have received. So, in 2 Corinthians 6:1, it says this, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." Don't receive it in vain. Now, vanity is sometimes hard to like, what is it? What does that in vain mean? Well, I like what the Complete Jewish Bible says. "As God's fellow workers, we also urge you not to receive his grace and then do nothing with it." So in other words, you've received something, a very precious gift, worth more than you can ever imagine, cost Jesus his life, cost him becoming poor, all of those things that we were talking about. And then for us to do nothing with it, it's like insulting God. It's like we're saying, "I know what you've done for me, but you know, I'm so busy with life. It's almost like I don't appreciate it." Now, I know nobody would say that directly. Nobody would say, "I'm going to insult God." Nobody, but by not utilizing what he's given us, it's almost like insulting him. It's like saying, "I don't value what you did on the cross for me, Lord, enough to utilize the power that you've put in me to live this life, this extraordinary, super abundant life that you've given me." And guess what? Most of the time when we're in that state, we don't reign in life. The enemy kicks us around. The enemy, pulls us by our nose and leads us wherever he wants to take us, because we're not reigning. Because we're not appreciative of what he's done. We're not using it to its full potential. We're taking the grace of God in vain. Here's another one. The Good News Bible says, "In our work together with God, then we beg you who have received God's grace not to let it be wasted." That's another way to say about it. I was reading some of the commentaries on this word vain, and one of them said, it's like going up to your sink and turning on your faucet and walking away and going to bed. The flow's there, but it's being wasted. And in some places, that could be very expensive, wasting water like that. I'm so hooked on my water, it's like I'll turn the hot on for a little bit, rinse a dish, I'll turn it off, and because I'm trying to save, the water. But it's like turning it on and just letting it go. I mean, we don't want to waste what God has given us. Because we are his children. We are his kids. We are his offspring. And he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through his grace. And if we don't use it, it's like we lose it. Even though it's always there for us, it's like we lose it. It's like, where did that go? And pretty soon we're like going, "God, I don't understand what happened. How am I off in la-la land here? I mean, I was just there with you, it seemed like, a year or two ago, and now I'm way over here." You probably weren't applying his grace to your life. You probably were living a life in vain for what he did for you on the cross. And because of that, you were wasting it, doing nothing with it, and taking the grace of God in vain. Yeah, I know, wow. It hit me too. Final verse, 1 Peter. How do we maintain this grace? Because, it sounds like I'm saying, wow, okay, you've got to work up your faith. You got to be able to say, okay, I'm getting grace. I'm receiving grace. I'm receiving his power. And you're like, you know, getting frothy at the mouth or whatever it takes to get this. You're going insane trying to maintain this grace. But I like this. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest in your hope upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is speaking of him in the future extending another level of grace to us. But this idea of resting, ceasing from our own labors, says in Hebrews 4. Ceasing from our own labors, our own strife. I thought you said, Pastor, you have to receive it by faith. You do, but you don't have to work it up. God's in you. You have him. Rest in him. So just go, Lord, I may not feel you all the time. I may not experience you all the time, but I just rest in the fact that you're working in my life. And Holy Spirit, I know that you're in me and you're guiding me and you're leading me. So I just yield and I surrender to your ways. I yield and surrender to your leadership, Lord. I give you permission to push my buttons. I give you permission to lead and guide my life. Even if I'm going off in the wrong direction, pull me back. That's resting in him. Just having an expectancy that he's going to work in your life. You know, so many of us are, including myself, are living below the standard that God has for us. And it's not in a way that he's looking his nose down at us. It's in a way that he's hurting because he knows our potential. I mean, how many of you have kids and you see them doing something and you know that they have the potential to go soaring, and yet they don't have enough confidence to do what you know they could do, and you're trying to tell them, you can do, but when they don't, it's like, oh, wow, I know you could have done, that's the way God is. It's like, I know, children, you could do so much more. Oh, you mean like, you know, get people saved and all of that? No, I mean just live life in freedom from the chains and shackles that he set us free from. You know, the chain that we need to be chained to is the grace of God. We need to like chain ourselves to it and not let it go. Say, Lord, I'm not letting go of your grace. You said you'd never leave me or forsake me. I'm not letting go of your grace. Your surrounding superabundance grace, I'm not leaving it. I'm not going to let it be something that I waste. I'm not going to let something that I don't utilize in my life. Now, as I said before, these things are very difficult for our natural minds to comprehend. As a matter of fact, they're impossible. And what they really are, it's foolishness to our natural mind. So if you're listening right now with your natural mind to me, you're going to go like, I hear what he's saying, but I don't get it. You have to receive it by your spirit. Because spiritual truths take spiritual minds to receive. The spiritual has to receive the spiritual. The carnal doesn't receive the spiritual. So if you're listening to a message saying, that's just not making any sense, say, Lord, help me receive this by my spirit. Help me receive this in the spirit. Because you are spiritual. Every single one of you. There's nobody here that's not connected with God. Unless you don't know the Lord, but I think everybody here does. Everybody has had an experience of saying, God, I want you in my life. Jesus, I want to follow you. Lord, I yield my heart and my mind and my being to you, so I'm spiritual. You can receive spiritual truths. And this is a spiritual truth. Rest your hope fully. Put all of your eggs in God's basket. All of them. Nowhere else. Put them in God's basket. Don't say, well, I'm going to set a few over here and just in case he lets me down. No. Put them all in his basket. They'll be safe. It says that no thief or rust or moth is going to destroy when you put everything in his basket. when you store up your treasures in him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let's make a declaration, another declaration. Let's put our hand on our heart. You can stand. We're not going to say the Pledge of Allegiance, but it looks like that's what we're getting ready to do. However you posture yourself to receive, because that's what we want to do. We want to receive right now while making this declaration. So just repeat after me. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, the mighty name of Jesus. I believe, Father, that you have put your Holy Spirit in me. And your Holy Spirit will let your grace work in my life. I receive your superabundant grace. I reject the lies of the enemy. It says I'm disqualified. I believe, Lord, you have qualified me to receive your superabundant grace. So right now, by faith, I receive your grace, and I will not let it be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your gaze, my world starts changing. I don't have much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be it all I can have. If I could have anything, let it be your eyes on me. Every time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be an orphan. Let me be an orphan. Come alive when I'm loving you. I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. My words fall short when I look at you. Oh, I come alive when I'm loving you. And I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. My words fall short when I look at you. Come alive when I'm loving you. I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. The world falls short when I look at you. Oh, I come alive when I'm loving you. And I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. The world falls short when I look at you. On me. Every time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be in all. Sing one more time. If I could have anything, let me be your eyes on me. Every time I catch your gaze, let my world starts changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be an offering. Let me be an offering. I just want, let me be an offering.
One more time.
Let me be an offering.
Jesus, we just thank you so much for your life, the life that you've given to us, God. I just pray today, Lord, that we would walk out of this place more equipped to reign in life. God, the grace that you've freely given, God, that we would walk in that, Lord. That we would not just be people that go to the sink and leave it on, God, and walk away, but we would actually dive fully in your offering, God, in your grace, Lord, and who you are. We worship your name today, God. And I just pray blessings, Lord, over every person here, God, over every home here, God. And we just thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy, Jesus. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen.